Good evening, everyone. Tonight we visit the precepts again, and we're skipping ahead to the juicy part, the third precept, which is hot in the news these days. Self-nature is subtle and mysterious. In the realm of the ungilded Dharma, not creating a veneer of attachment is called the precept of not misusing sex. The three wheels are pure and clear. When you have nothing to desire, you follow the way of all Buddhas. Honoring mutuality and respecting commitment, I vow to take up the way of not misusing sex. So I saw that Time magazine named the person of the year the group who came up with Me Too. Quite wonderful, and high time. And our work here also is about Me Too. It's looking at not what everybody else has done, but what are the possibilities, the pitfalls, the ways that we too have the potential to misuse sex. So, not quite as enjoyable, perhaps, as hearing about the stories of the misdeeds of other people, but looking at what goes on within ourselves, because each of us has the potential to do this as well. This is always our work, to see what are the roots of these sources of suffering. To notice that that I too have this happening within me, even if I don't act on it. Perhaps I see it a little more clearly. So these first three precepts, not taking life, not stealing, and not misusing sex, these are the body precepts, to do with how we use our bodies. Interesting that sex gets its own specific precept. It is that that strong of a bodily urge, a bodily drive. And I can also imagine that when Buddhism was in its early days and these precepts were being formulated, that it was really important for monastics to be celibate and not to, because the alternative was generally to have many children, right? To take a spouse, and then children ensued, and very difficult to when you are have to provide for many mouths. And the living is perhaps not too easy. Hard for there to be any time for anything else. In order to maintain a strong spiritual practice, this vow of celibacy is taken. It's a little bit different in our time. So we have many, lay practitioners who also take, the precepts. Not for celibacy, but for not misusing sex. And this pertains to men and women equally. It is important whether we are in a relationship or not, because actually we're all in relationships, right? We're all in relationship with everything, but specifically with other people, all around us, and we relate, whether consciously or not, to one another as sexual beings. And so there's always this potential for misusing sex. It mentions not creating a veneer of attachment and having nothing to desire. This doesn't mean keeping everything at arm's length or everyone at arm's length. We can be fully open-hearted and loving without creating an attachment. You can respond warmly and with compassion and love and even and desire without creating what is referred to here as the veneer of attachment. That's adding something extra, and we'll look at that a little more closely. And this having nothing to desire, maybe not. I mean, desires arise, right? We're not really in control of that. It's whether or not we give them power, whether or not we believe that when a desire arises, it must be fulfilled, and then putting energy into that. So this having nothing to desire, something to examine there, something to look at. How does that operate within each one of us? It's also interesting, as we go through these precepts, that each precept actually also contains all the others within it. Sometimes it takes a little bit of nosing around to see how that's true. But certainly if you keep all the other precepts, this one is no problem. Right? For instance, if you don't take what is not given, if you don't do harm, or if you don't deceive, then probably you won't be misusing sex. It's the honoring mutuality of this matter of consent and respecting commitment. So kind of when you study one precept, you study them all. And just entering in from a different route. So what is the basis for this misusing of sex? From what does it arise? And of course, the base delusion is always this matter of having a self, right? Of there being someone who needs protection. Now, all the suffering arises out of that certainty that there's someone here who's fragile, who's imperiled by others, and must be protected. Sometimes we bolster that sense of self by proving to ourselves that we have power over other people. This is one way that we can misuse sex. That can take very violent, it can manifest violently, but there are also more subtle ways. As I was considering this precept, I remembered a time when I was maybe 14 or so, and my next door neighbor and I used to go camping with their family. They had a daughter who was a year younger than me, and we were good friends, and so I would go camping with them. They started out camping in a rather wretched big army tent kind of thing, and then over the years became more sophisticated and finally had a big, you know, kind of RV type sleep inside of wheeled RV. Because they went camping often, they got to know some of the people who also went camping often, and it happened that they invited one of these couples to their house across the street from me for a picnic one summer. And so the people came, and my friend invited me over too, and, you know, there was lots of food, and then there was some drinking, and my friend and I went into the house, I don't know, just because we're too cool to hang out with everybody else or something. And the husband of the invited couple came into the house at the same time. And he started talking with my friend and I. And there was a distinct sense of flirtatiousness. And I remember recognizing that I had some power over this person, that I, at the age of 14, could evoke a certain response, and it was exciting to have that kind of power. These things go both ways. Right? That particular situation did not end well. for him. And they had a very quick exit from the scene. But not to think that this is something that only men do to women, that we all have that kind of power and might be willing to use it to gratify ourselves, to feel that effect that we can have on someone else. So desire for power over another, and desire for what else we think another person can give us. Perhaps we are lonely. Perhaps like the feedback that we're lovable people, that there's something worthy about us. We want to hear someone else say that, someone that we care about. And so this is the grasping for something from someone else. There's a degree of objectifying the other person, right, as an object that can give us what we want, or an object that we can influence. So there's me, my sense of self, and this other one who has something that I want. And this is always a source of suffering. It's curious that sex is something that that has the possibility of bringing us very close to one another in an incredible way. Physically, emotionally, intertwining. And it can also make us feel much more lonely, depending on how we view the other. If it's someone that we want something from, you're just distancing yourself from that person. So noticing this also. All of these roots of suffering around misusing sex. This is the precept where it's important to bring up the subject of teacher-student relationships in the Zen world. There have been some scandals around that in American Zen. And in Boundless Way, we've taken great care to put safeguards in place so that this is most unlikely to happen. Because here again, there's a power differential, right? This is always the setup where someone has power over another one and sex gets mixed into that. And it's no different in a teacher-student relationship. So we have multiple teachers so that we can check in with one another, so that a student isn't caught up in a situation where they only have one teacher they can go to. If there's some question of this, of something that doesn't feel right, we can go to another teacher and check in. We also have an ethics committee. If you feel that there's something untoward in the situation, you can bring it to the ethics committee, and they can act as mediators address all the parties involved and come to a resolution. And we have, should a relationship actually start up between a teacher and a student, we have ways of addressing that within the organization. There is actually a policy in place for that, so that we can separate out that teacher-student part from the relationship. So just a sort of, it's not really a side note, but an addendum to this precept, to say that we recognize what the strength of sexuality is, and also of loneliness. It can be very lonely for a teacher. One reason, again, why we have multiple teachers in Boundless Way is that it can be very lonely for just one teacher to be overseeing a sangha or a Zen center with nobody else who is a peer, nobody else to check in with or to share the experience with as an equal. So we created a situation, hopefully, that minimizes the possibility for abuse. And I hear in this precept the three pure precepts, ways of entering from them. So that's ceasing from evil, cultivating good, and saving all beings. So this ceasing from evil, ceasing from misusing sex, this is the flip side is to cultivate a contentment with the way that things are. This can be pretty challenging in a long relationship, sometimes even in a short one, to cultivate contentment. And there's something around this statement of respecting commitment that's included in the precept that is really important here. I think there's something very important in commitment in holding together that which sometimes repels. Right, so that there's enough opportunity, enough meeting time that things can be resolved. It's really challenging to do that. I say this as a person who's on her third lifetime relationship, so I'm aware if I speak. There's something in that commitment that holds us long enough to face the conflicts and work through them. And commitment really an important part of our sexual relationships as well. I'm not putting forth any sort of morality here, just observations about commitment. And contentment that can come from that. Doesn't mean that everything's okay, but we can also be contented in the midst of difficulty. And so this is ceasing from evil and cultivating every good. This is what arises out of this honoring of mutuality, which means consent. At first, when I thought about this, I thought about consent between two parties, but sometimes more are involved. And I think in terms of an adulterous situation, where the two adulterers may have given consent to one another, but there's a hidden third or maybe fourth party who has not given consent. It must also be considered. So this honoring mutuality of all the parties involved and respecting commitment, and again, the commitments of all the parties involved. And finally, saving all beings. So this is again pointing to the matter of separating ourselves from the other. And it's a call to consider whether this is really the whole truth. It seems so obvious to us. We are here and they are there. And we're here and everything else is out there. And so we make this assumption as we go through our lives. We live from this assumption. Doesn't even seem like a place to begin to question. But it's really essential to question. If we want transformation in our lives, if we have found that nothing less will do, in addressing the suffering that we see around us and within ourselves, then the place to look is in all the places that we haven't been. These unexamined assumptions, the greatest one, I am here and everyone else is there. If we don't separate ourselves, then the precepts keep themselves. We couldn't possibly hurt someone else. We would only want to extend good. And all beings already saved. And so to read through this third precept one more time. before opening up Dharma Dialogue. Self-nature is subtle and mysterious. In the realm of the ungilded Dharma, not creating a veneer of attachment is called the precept of not misusing sex. The three wheels are pure and clear. When you have nothing to desire, you follow the way of all Buddhas. Honoring mutuality and respecting commitment, I vow to take up the way of not misusing sex. Thank you, everyone.